Welcome to the Sermon Podcast for Northwest Baptist Church. We hope you hear from God in this week's message.
So we're in a series right now about walking by the Spirit. And this is almost like a series, shall we say, in quarters. Brother Chris preached last week, Chris Blanchard, and talked about the fruits of the Spirit. I'm picking up another three parts today about patience, kindness, and goodness, and then we'll continue to hand that off with some of our other brothers in the next few weeks as we wind things up within another week or so. But the heart of everything, in order to continue to bring us together again, is the aspect of Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 through 26. And I would very much like you to follow along, read this aloud, open up your Bible. And by the way, can I just say a real thing about the Bible, right? Or the word here is that I know you'll see me up here sometimes because of my ADD. It's hard for me to do multiple tasks. So I have all these things like written down, these notes, whatever, and then I take my medicine before I get here. But the bottom line is that I think it's important that if you don't have a Bible, all right, I want you to get a Bible. And you can scribble in it and highlight it and all this kind of stuff. I've been doing a little cleaning at my house, and I've found some Bibles that are literally ready to fall apart. Not so much I've read them, but I just think of all the stuff I've highlighted in the past or whatever. So I don't want to embarrass you if you don't. That's not my intent. All I'm trying to say is we're family, and I ask you to come together for family. When you get invited to family events or whatever, don't you always ask, what can I bring, and all this kind of stuff. You know, you're going to bring cookies, you're going to bring a salad, a good attitude, whatever it may be. Well, maybe what we should start doing to encourage us as family as we grow, we just bring the Word of God with us. So when we're hanging out together, you know, we got some similarity, if that makes any sense. And for those of you that don't know where things are in the Bible, it's totally fine to put sticky notes and tabs and stick your pencil in there, maybe just not the point, like the eraser side or something. That's okay. I think some people, even though it's a holy, sacred document, I think it's great that you use it as much as you possibly can. It doesn't have to look real pretty like this one, because this is a relative new one, okay? So, I don't know. I told you it's going to be weird today. So you guys are doing this. Let's read this, or you can follow along in the scriptures if you be so kind. I know it's a lot of reading. 1-800, wow, just get over it, okay? All right, so Galatians 5, 16 through 26. I say then, you all pitch in, walk by the Spirit. You will certainly not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is against the Spirit, and the Spirit desires what is against the flesh. These are opposed to each other, so that you don't do. Very good. Keep going. Now, the works of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, moral impurity, promiscuity, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, strife, jealousy, outburst of angers, selfish ambition, dissensions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and anything similar. I am warning you about these things, as I warned you before, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit, joy, peace, live by the Spirit. We all keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Amen. Amen. Nice job. That was great. I'll get a little gold star thing, okay? A real quick review from last week to make sure that we're on track here is that, if you remember Chris Blanchard talk about the aspect of like a farmer, that there's an entire process to, you know, how they farm and cultivate, and even he talked about some of the, I believe it was the tomatoes, maybe taking out a little bit early, and they basically quickly put them somewhere where they change the color so that the outside appearance of that fruit actually looks pretty good. So if I didn't know that, now I'm like anti-tomato, you know. So when I think about that, I'm like, that's like one of the things when we go to, we have a place that we go to called Tom's Market, you know, and they just have amazing tomatoes there. So next time I'm there, I'm gonna like, you spraying this thing, man? You know, like, what's going on? But we gotta be careful with the outward appearance. I wanna take it one step further. You gotta be careful my outside appearance. You know, because I might just spray myself. That sounds really tacky. When I come to church to try to look Christian, I had a brother say something to me. He said, last week, Bob, I knew you were struggling. I wanted to come up to you and give a hug, but you were busy and all this kind of stuff. And I told that guy, I said, the next time that happens, I don't care where I'm at, you come get me. All right? Because sometimes we, even though we're trying to be this good fruit that we've used this example in there, sometimes we may spray a little bit to like polish us up a little bit, and we're really not, you know, not you all. I'm not really being the man that God has called me to be. So we talked about how critical it was in regards to having specific things of the fruit of the Spirit, and he talked about three main areas. He talked about love, he talked about joy, and he talked about peace. But I also want to make sure that you understand that an overriding thing that has become very apparent to me in the past 10 days is there is an intense spiritual warfare going against us. Our family and the family of believers all over the world, those that are actually hiding from hearing the gospel today, to those that are truly worshiping in the Spirit, if that makes any sense. There's a vicious, deliberate attack that's going on. And we need to understand that as we come together as family, that everything's just not going to be so hunky-dory all the time. And it's not going to be so perfect. So when you're challenged by some of these things, I think that we have to understand that there truly is a war that's going on, and it's not going to end until our Lord and Savior comes back again. It's not going to go away. And you can't run away and hide from it. It will follow you. And it is what I call very tactically, specifically zoomed in to wherever our weaknesses may be. So if all of us, regardless of our strengths and weaknesses, and we come into the house of God and we want to hear about Jesus and what he has done for us and how he went to the cross for us and he's buried and rose again and he's coming back, and if we just accept him and repent, make sure that you understand from prior to that to the day that he comes back, there will be constant war spiritually in everything we do, and they will attack us at any cost in this church. Any cost. And they will attack us at any cost in our family. So when we talk about these gifts that Brother Chris was so elegant about last week, about the aspect of love and joy and peace, if we're truly trying to grow off the vine, which is Christ and his work through the Holy Spirit to produce good fruit, just remember that in between this is a vicious attack. Vicious. Satan will do anything, anything he can to destroy the vine, to destroy the fruit, to make it not get to where it is in, shall I say, an aspect of its best that it can be for Christ. And I realize we're all going to fail and have that, but man, it is crazy. And I think it's even crazier when we come together, because see, then the attack, you know, it is possible that the attack is literally right to the door. Does it make any sense? It's almost like the rain that's out there right now. Like he's like, he would love to come in here. And guess what? I've brought him in here before. Forgive me. My attitude, my sprayed fruit. All right? I got to be careful, because guess what? If I would never want to do that if my kids were at the table eating or hanging out with my grandkids. I would do anything. If somebody came to the door and tried to threaten them, I'd be like, you know, I got to take some action. So we have to understand that too. We may just be so worn out as we come together on this. So remember that it is warfare that we're dealing with. It's not some game about what's going on. So the first one that I want to talk to you today about is patience. We're going to talk about patience, kindness, and goodness. The first one I want to talk to you about is patience. But the fruit of the Spirit, another fruit that we're going to see, is the aspect of patience. In the Greek, patience is basically our capability or capacity to remain self-controlled, despite difficult circumstances or actions by others that might be expected to cause anger or get us upset. In Colossians, verse 1, verse 11, it gives us a verse to help us to attach this part of patience as a fruit of the Spirit, is that being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. Would you say patience with me one time? Just say patience. I want to have patience. Very good. The capacity to remain self-controlled. I would like to dovetail this a little bit into this spiritual warfare thing. You know why it's so hard for Bob? Some of you all I love, so maybe some of you all in a family have no patience. We don't need patience. We don't need patience. If I go to the store now and I want to buy something, I don't even need to take a credit card out of my phone. I think that's right, right? Help me out. The young ones, right? Double click on the side. All right, so when I go to Chick-fil-A, oh, I'm not supposed to say that anyway. All right, click, click, done. I don't have to wait for anything. I can actually order my food and go anywhere and instantly get anything. I don't even have to wait for pretty much anything anymore. Now, for those of you like old guys like me, maybe you understood. I remember my mom and dad, like they would save, put money in an envelope so they could go to Ocean City for the weekend or stuff like that. And that has all changed. We need no patience. Our whole society doesn't need patience because it's instantaneous. It's more just making a quick decision. If I need something, I just order on Amazon. Our whole culture's changed. Guess what? All of us as a family, when we come together, maybe the reason why we're not patient towards one another is we don't need it anywhere else. It's nuts. My four-year-old grandson can talk to a little thing and ask it questions, and it will tell him anything. And I'm not even a social media guru. Does that make any sense? I can text. If you all got text messages from me, I send pictures. You know, that's like my new thing, you know. So, but the reason I share is that maybe the reason why we become impatient as believers is that we don't need patience. And here's a scary thing, I wish more of the younger crowd was here, but I just want to talk to those of you that are under 66, right? Is that we got to be careful because the whole generation, the whole family that's coming up in the church, they don't need to be patient for anything. And if they have to wait, they're in freakosaurus mode. Agreed? When's the last time you were in a shopping line and you had a you had to wait? As a matter of fact, you want to talk about impatience in store? You can't even go someplace and get a cash register person to talk to. Right? Bop, 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 I'm out. Lowe's. I go to Lowe's here lately. Where's my brother? All right? Like, if he's working, I'll go to him. But if he's not working, I go to self-checkout. Bang, bang, bang. I'm gone. Click, click, out. No patience. No wonder we're having a hard time producing this fruit. This might be a fruit that Satan's saying, you know what? I'm going to take patience right out. I'm going to make this so easy, ridiculous. Are you ready? You got this thing ready to go? Yes? You guys need to talk to me, okay? I got my hearing aids in, but it's important you talk. You there? You got it? All right. This will be another one of them sermons where I probably won't be asked to come back anymore. All right, you ready? Alexa. What is the square root of 10,700?
The square root of 10,700 is 103.4408.
Alexa, how many different versions of the Bible are there?
According to an Alexa Answers contributor, about 2,000 versions.
Alexa, what's the weather in York, Pennsylvania?
In New York, it's 58 degrees Fahrenheit with showers. Today, you can look for rainy weather with a high of 60 degrees and a low of 48 degrees. By the way, there's a coastal flood advisory in effect Sunday, October 2nd from 12 p.m. to 4 p.m.
Alexa, when will my marriage heal? Alexa, when will cancer be cured?
Geronimo de Concer died in 1655. He was 56 years old when he died.
Alexa, when will my family come home?
Sorry, I don't have an answer for that.
Alexa, when will Jesus come back?
Here's something I found on Wikipedia. The second coming is a Christian concept regarding the future return of Jesus Christ and his followers after his first coming and ascension to heaven about 2,000 years ago.
Alexa, when will I stop having pain?
Sorry, I don't know that.
Alexa, stop. But the fruit of the Spirit is patience. To be steadfast. To be long-suffering. To bear the burdens and trials without complaining. Family. We need to be very careful that we do everything we can as a family. And if I could just take a moment with this. I do not take it lightly. What Will had to say up here this morning in regards to our spiritual warfare about how important it is that when we do get angry or we lack steadfastness, we lack long-suffering, we lack bearing burdens, and we tend to speak as Bob would speak in the flesh rather than from the spirit, and we start, we're just mad, and the things that come out of our mouth are going to be painful and hurt. You know, it's not so bad when we're family, like we're really close family. But what if that family is real new to us and I lash out like that? Or what if I'm in a position of servant leadership and somebody attacks me, right? You know, they just really kind of like, bah, all right? I just want to tell you that it is right at that moment when Satan sees that door just kind of open up a little bit, and he's going to flood us with the aspect of attack for that. And it takes a super strong person through the Holy Spirit. I would say maybe not a super strong person, but someone that can lay it down in front of the cross, all right, and just like, okay, Lord, like you got to do something real fast, because if not, I'm getting ready to punch this person in the face. Like, do something. I don't want to go to jail. Like, I want to get through this. So we need to be careful is that it is possible that one of these fruits that we're talking about in regards to patience, the reason why it's so hard sometimes to be steadfast and be able to bear these burdens and all this kind of stuff is that we really don't have to be patient for all these other things in our life. And this was a silly example about this, but this thing's nuts. I mean, I set this thing up this morning. There were people coming up, you know, tell me a joke and what's this? You know, stuff I didn't even think about. And I'm not a math guy, but I just thought that was interesting that I was able to just, you know, spit that stuff out on that. So we have to be careful when we're talking about that in regards to that. So I want to encourage us as we move forward in this chapter in our church, this chapter in our family, to be very careful when we're angry and impatient towards one another. Because I'm telling you, when we're down, it hurts. It hurts. It hurts when you say stuff that's way out of line. And when we're down a little bit, it makes us harder to be stronger. I'm just going to speak for me. it may even put me in a position that I don't want to be with the family that much. Am I okay, Noel? Right. I told Noel he'd sit up front and shoot me the eyeball, right? Listen to me. If we're going to move, let's be careful, please. Now, we can put stuff out, whatever, but here's something that I don't want you to do anymore. Don't you dare. No. That, see, right there, that was ignorant, right? Please, please, don't do stuff on social media to one another. Please. Hold it. I would much rather you come and just in front of me, so at least then I can see you and have an opportunity to respond to you, rather than you do it on social media. I think that Satan has made it easier for us to be less patient because we can put all that stuff on social media. So please, let's work together as a family to be more patient, to be more steadfast, more long-suffering, help each other. We can still be upset. Let's just face-to-face, not, you know, in a meeting or something like that. You know, get it done, all right? Follow some Christian steps, which will be a whole other sermon, and no, I'm not preaching it, all right? All right? Cool? Cool. Let's really work on that. I think that'd be awesome. The next one is kindness. The fruit of the Spirit is kindness. Love expressed in charitable acts. Moral goodness. These are just some definitions, things of that nature, and acts of friendship. Or God's overwhelming kindness to do good even to those of his enemies. The overwhelming kindness of Christ and God to do whatever he has to do to those who are his enemies, because he knows the more he pours on his enemy, the more the greater chance to break them and bring them to Christ, to accept him as Lord and Savior. In the book of Romans, in the second chapter, in the fourth verse, or do you despise the riches of his kindness, his restraint and patience, not recognizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance? I don't want to say nothing else about patience, but I just want to talk about kindness. So love expressed in charitable acts, God's overwhelming love for us and his kindness to us is intended, all right, to bring us to a point where we repent. Now that can be the first type repent, like repent, Lord, like I need you in my life. Like there's no other God but you. Like I have, or it, Lord, please help me, all right, through your kindness, not to put something on social media. Help me to be the kind person. Help me to grasp just a little piece of you in my life as I bring it down, and especially to my family. See, if we practice this good here, it's going to be real easy for us in the community. If you're doing this in the community, if you're nice in our community, in a church, please meet me in a lobby afterwards. Like, we got to, like, it shouldn't be. This should almost be like, you know, coming together as family today is what's going on. So if we could just kind of put that in our head and conceive that a little bit, I think it'd be a great thing. I think it'd be a wonderful thing. And I think it would help us to grow, because there's lots of other people that need to be influenced from us because of what has Christ has done on the cross, has he sent the Holy Spirit to guide us, and God's overwhelming love for us in regards to that. So never forget, it's a richness that he has for us in his kindness and his restraint and his patience with us, that he is basically just trying to bring us to a point where we can repent. Because once we repent, then there's an opportunity for us to allow the Holy Spirit to work even more in our lives as we move forward. So two new fruits, yeah? Some patience, some kindness. Even though they sound kind of, I don't know, basic, or like, you know, you would think that your mom's already taught you all those things, but it's something that we want to think about that makes any sense. I want to share one thing about kindness right now that I think is interesting, is that in regards to kindness in a perfect world, If you would just look at this one, I put some bullets on here, but I want to focus on one thing in just a moment. So, really kind of gracious actions and attitudes towards imperfect people. Be very careful that we don't prejudge those that come into our family. Very careful, because you might be amazed at the rock stars that they're going to become as Christ works in their life through the Holy Spirit. If you knew how many times I have had to go to someone and ask for forgiveness, because as soon as I saw them, I immediately started to categorize them and put them in this process or whatever, and then they blew me away. To have mercy, to have uprightness, and to easy to be around. You all been around me a few times. I'm not easy to be around sometimes. My wife can probably tell you 100 stories from this morning. To be easy to be around. In order to be easy to be around, you got to drop your guard. That's tough. Because if the family's already jerked a chain, then you try to get together and you're supposed to be easy to be around. You don't want to really be around because you're really mad at what they said. You see where I'm going with this? We need to repent amongst one another so we can be easy to be around. Very important. Especially as we move forward in this chapter where we are in the church right now. And here's part two to this that I want to make sure we zoom in on. If we cannot be easy to be around, if we have no patience and no kindness or whatever, how are we ever going to draw someone to the family? How are we ever going to draw someone to a point where they realize, wow, what is it with you that's so different that it leads to a conversation from the Holy Spirit that brings them to a point where they need a Savior? How are we ever really going to, maybe the reason why at times Bob's not as effective as he really needs to be is that maybe I'm just at that time, I'm really not very easy to be around. I gotta think about that. Because don't we act a little different sometimes around family? Possibly. I'll take pressure off you. So when we come together here, I hate to say this, but for right now, let's just be us. And learn and love one another, show patience, show kindness, show these fruits as we move forward. And that way we don't have to you don't have to turn on or turn off anything. We're pretty much us in here and out there. Make any sense? It's important. We don't have to do that. And it's been drilled into us. The church, come together, regroup. I'm glad somebody noticed last week that I didn't want to be here. That was cool, all right? I really did. And I busted them. I'm like, hey, next time that happens, you want to do that? I want to share something with you. And I had a great conversation with a beautiful young lady this morning that's part of our church. When we talk about kindness and mercy and showing gracious action, let me tell you about society real quick. The society, our community, outside of here in our family, whatever, is a wreck. Oh, Bob, blah, blah, blah. No, I'm telling you, it's a wreck. All right? The only thing that they can rely on anymore, and they don't have family. No one will listen to them. They're getting into trouble. They're just kind of doing everything they possibly. The only thing that is really working is for those people that will pay attention to them in their anger, in their worst moments. So when I talked to Stephanie this morning, I talked to her about this process of her in her service in the community as like a crisis response person, whatever. And oh, by the way, every one of us is a crisis response person in our community, but I'll let that be for right now. I know you haven't had training or whatever. It'll take 5 minutes. Right? And she expressed to me how important it was that when we're near people and they're in a crisis, how important it is that our body language is positive. I didn't mean it like that, like Terry is all the time I preach, right? And it's important that we just listen to the person as that information is being exchanged, maintain decent eye contact with them, and that our tone of voice is not demeaning. Brother Bob. Man, I have... I have torn some people up in my life. I've torn my grandkids up. You know, they go to do something. I'm just like, I'm not really paying attention. It is critical that we think about this. So maybe the reason why it's so hard for us to be kind here, it's hard for us to be kind out there. Because a lot has happened. We don't want to keep saying COVID and all this kind of stuff, but I'm telling you, our world is radically different. Radically different. And people are comfortable now in their house. They don't really, you know, it's okay. They're not like my kids where I just open the door and they're like, phew. You know, I'm like, go over Carl's house and eat or something, you know. But it's important that we understand that. But listen to me. This aspect of patience and long-suffering, being steadfast, if we have no patience, we're never going to be able to be kind. Think about that for a minute. Because if I can't, I hate to say if I can't tolerate that, because there's sometimes you have to just go in there. I don't know how she does it, to be honest with you. I'll be like, boom, all right? But she goes in, but not like this, maintains eye contact, lets them vent. And I'm sure that they have said some things that hurt with me. But see what she's doing is she looks past that God's never ending kindness, his diligence to do whatever it takes to get to a point where they're just angry and angry and angry, and they get to the end of the conversation and it's over and there's nothing else for them to do, and now there's a moment of peace. I tell you another thing that's happening in our society right now, because of they feel that no one will be kind with them and no one will take care of. The only thing, and it's a shame that it has to be this, but I want to use it in my fire department aspect. The only thing that works anymore is 911. When people are desperate, they call 911. When they've fallen out of their wheelchair at Cantata Court and they can't get off the floor, they call 911. When people are trying to go from point A to point B to 911, when a smoke detector goes off and they can't figure out what's going on, they call 911. They call the police for, you know, the cat and the neighbor that's fighting and all this kind of stuff. You know what? Because they have nobody else to call. The elderly person that's laying on the floor at Cantata Court has no one to call. The person that needs assistance as time goes on, they have no one else to call. Now that, I know that's like a crazy example right here, but let that never not be us. Let it be a position that when we have needs, we call and we, you know, we basically assist as best and as gracious as we possibly can. But guess what? It takes patience. It takes kindness. It takes time. It takes us being in like in a different mode, but there's a risk that we may have to do stuff that we're really not used to. This has been a crazy 10 days for my family and all, and I'll share with you in the very end, but I'll just talk to you about how much I appreciate life. So the last thing is goodness, and I'll be done soon, I promise. Goodness, generosity, usefulness, moral excellence. Ephesians 5, 8 and 9, it talks about, for you were once darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists of all the goodness, righteousness, and truth. So I hate to say like the sixth fruit that we're putting in here has to do with goodness. Moral excellence sometimes can be a challenge to us for one thing, that we may not really know what to do. We're trying to do the right thing, if that makes any sense, but we just don't really know what to do. The thing that we have to be careful of in regards to, you know, how we're going to apply what we feel the Holy Spirit leading us in life and going to this person and that sort of, is that sometimes what it takes is a word called counsel. It is my hope in our church that we continue to raise up leaders, both ladies and men. And in that, then what has to happen is if I want to try to, you know, be able to do things and help people and produce these fruits, whatever, then we need to work together. I should be calling on an older person, if that makes any sense, that's grounded, that I can say, here's the situation I'm dealing in. Because I have found that if I don't do that, then guess what? My fruit's going to fall on the floor. I'm going to go with more of a Bob attitude than show moral excellence or to show real kindness. Where sometimes I just need to step back and let that person talk to me or go to the Word, and I don't want to take anything away from that. But it's important that we do that. So when you come here and you're talking to family and you know you have to deal with things and these things are going on with the life, these are the conversations that need to rise up within the family. This is why it's so important that maybe there's times we just get together and we study God's Word, not so much the Bible itself, but like, okay, we're in a season where, I don't know, there's a situation in our community. What's the best way that we can handle this? Or this is what's going on in my family, and I cannot go right back to CR where, you know, there's a particular thing. And they're focusing on that thing to make the person stronger in order for you to have some level of moral excellence, an aspect of you to be able to, you know, to be able to confront it front on. Because it is highly probable the way the family's been busted up, there's really not a lot of counsel to go to. We can't sit on grandma's lap. Some of us, you know, the whole mom and dad situation's a wreck, and I get it, and I'm sorry. I wish it would be like that, but a day will come, if you will accept Christ as your Savior, that you'll have all kind of grandmas you can talk to, all right? It'll be amazing. It'll be amazing. So just keep that in our head, that in order for have this aspect of goodness, and it's true in every fruit, don't get me wrong, but I think it's real important that we just consider, you know, that counsel and working together on things, especially as a family, as we move through these things, because to me, it's a big deal. So what are some things in regards to what we've covered, the fruit so far, between Chris Blanchard and myself, and I believe it's, is it Dr. Dean next week? My man, all right? He'll be a much better guy at this, right? We want to avoid the bad fruit, make sure it's the fruit that's on the vine itself. In love, our love needs to be unconditional, which is hard. There has to be a commitment to it. When we have joy, there needs to be delight with that. When we have peace, there should be an aspect of harmony. If we want to see where these things are basically developing, not that fake spray that I talked about for me. And having patience, that we're kind of steadfast in what's going on. Having kindness, we need to show mercy. And then having goodness, there needs to be an aspect of usefulness. My apologies for that. I almost called the deacons yesterday and asked someone to preach today. I almost didn't come today. My wife and I drove separate. I actually sat back there and in the back hoping that the fire alarm would go off or something and we could leave the building. When I got here this morning, no one was here, and I prayed that no one would come. And that way I could just talk to Noli in the choir. This past 10 days, we've had 3 funerals. And a friend of mine, a co-worker, I'm sure you remember him, Dan Lemon, passed away, cancer. Two cancer, one bad health, and another one, some significant respiratory problems, of which I had an opportunity to go to the hospital and just hang with him a little bit as they were trying to get him off the ventilator. So wham, 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 but I mean, just nuts. There's some major stuff going on with my oldest son, of which I'm just broken. So, why do I share that? I don't want any pity. I don't want any hoorah. I don't want any meetings. I don't want any stuff at the house. That's not my intent. My intent is that I need to be with my family. Fair enough? Not that you need to say anything to me, but I need to be with family. I need to work on my patience. I need to work on my kindness. I need to work on my goodness. I need to work on my love and my joy and the other fruits that we're going to go on. But the reason that I share that is it is so important for us to understand that if we are going to continue to grow as a family here in our current chapter in life, how God has this plan perfectly laid out for us or whatever, it is important that we start really taking to heart and doing everything we can to come together as a family and work together as a family and not to, you know, post stuff that would go against the family. I would rather us, let's have that one-on-one, all right, and get it out and get it over and move on with it, because it's just going to be a stumbling block for us to move forward. And if we've done stuff like that, it's an easy fix. Even though it may be hard for that person to take, it's called repentance. You just ask for your sorry. If you're sincerely sorry about it, that's just the way it works. That's kind of the great thing about it. You don't have to harbor and hold it, because if we continue to hold it, it's going to interfere for us. It's going to interfere from us here as we grow as disciples, and it's going to have a major impact as we go into the community. Major. We're not going to be able to minister in the community if things are really like way out of kilter. Not that they are, because I see God's hand doing some amazing things right now. So let's work together as a family as we move forward.
Thanks for tuning in today. We'd love to have you come worship with us in person at 300 Westminster Road, Reisterstown, Maryland, 21136. Also, be sure to check out our church's website at nwbcmd.org to find out what else we're doing and how to get plugged in.